Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In the Gospel of John, the chapter 20 ends this way. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Have you ever been at a gathering, probably a family gathering, and someone is telling a story? It's a familiar story. You actually know most of it. You've heard it many times. And you can recognize when the end is coming, finally, you know, and the person gets towards the end and everybody kind of sighs and goes back to their pot roast and mashed potatoes. And just as you start to eat, they start to talk again. And they still have another ending, another story that they just really need to tell you. And it sounds sort of familiar. So you give your attention back to the storyteller, and of course the food is getting cold. I want you to hear now the beginning of chapter 21 of the Gospel of John. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together was Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." And they said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Well, cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." That disciple whom Jesus loved said, "It is the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far off from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. And after this, he said to him, "Follow me." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, the reason that I read both of those to you is because many scholars feel like the Gospel of John actually ended with chapter 20, and that someone edited and added chapter 21. Almost like somebody feared that we might not get the true meaning of it all, and we weren't paying attention, and that just one more story, one more familiar story, needed to be told. When we hear the story of the disciples on the beach in the Sea of Tiberias, it is an engaging story, and it doesn't matter who actually wrote it or why, because it still tells us the truth of some things. It actually seems to be a flashback. Chapter 21 seems to be a flashback of all the teachings, the purpose, the mission, all replayed one last time for our benefit, so that we really will get it now. The risen Christ appears at the Sea of Tiberias, feeding the disciples bread and fish, thinking of another time when Jesus was at the Sea of Tiberias, and he fed 5,000 with five loaves and two fish. Each part of the story, a part of another story, a flashback. Jesus has now departed, but the story tells us, don't give up so fast on how he will affect your life. Jesus' abundant generosity in life is present now in the new life as the risen Christ, who continues to bless and feed us. At the beginning of the story, he says, cast your nets into the right side. You don't have any fish, do you, children? And they say, no, we don't. The disciples in every single fishing story, and it seems that whoever wrote or redacted and edited this Gospel of John knew all the fishing stories, and they knew that the disciples were dependent upon Jesus' presence to guide their labors. There were no fish, were there, unless Jesus showed up. It also reminds us as we hear this that Jesus is present again with us. If we're to fulfill the mission of Christ, we will need the presence of Christ today, guiding and feeding us. And this image is always a surprise to me, but I love it. They didn't recognize him. They never recognized him in any of the stories. When I was growing up, I used to think that was about the dumbest part of all the stories. Of course you would recognize somebody you had dedicated your whole life to. You'd followed him around for a few years, and now you didn't know who he was. But that was when I was younger. See, we think about the Gospel of John. Mary earlier didn't recognize Jesus in the garden, right? In front of the empty tomb, she doesn't know who he is. And the disciples locked in a room with him, they don't know who he is. But I was sure growing up, if I could just hear him speak once, or I could just walk around with him, have dinner with him, they had dinner with him, that I would always recognize him. And then I grew up and I realized I too often still don't recognize. That each and every day Christ appears to us, and every day somehow we fail to see him all around us. Now, the storyteller, I think, must have known me, must have known you, and knew a whole bunch of people just like us. So he tells us the story again and again. And in the story, Jesus feeds them bread and fish, and I thought to myself, fish again. Here we go. It's another fish tale, and they have to eat fish again. They're on the shore as he feeds them fish and bread. I'm wondering if it made them remember the dinner where he fed them, and he washed their feet, and he said farewell, and he said, I have to leave you for now. I'm wondering if the meal on the shore reminded them. Early on the morning when they cast their nets, and their nets were full of fish, and sitting on the shore was a man with a charcoal fire, fixing them breakfast. Do their bodies remember the Last Supper when he blessed the bread and offered himself as a sacrifice? Our storyteller seems to be asking if the risen Christ continues to share and to bless our fellowship, the fellowship of the body of Christ, the fellowship of the church. Is the risen Christ still feeding us at the table, nurturing us, and preparing us for our work in the world? The mission to which he called us long ago, the very first time on the shore of Galilee, when he said, "Follow me." And now, on the cool morning, the disciples are finally certain of who he is, though they dare not ask him, but they are certain it is in the feeding that they always recognize him. But that's not where the story ends. Again, our storyteller seems to not be able to be finished with this story. It seems that it ended, and now it ends again. They recognize him. They have been fed. And then I realize that it is never in recognizing Christ that is the goal. That is the first part. It is a means to an end, because after he feeds them, and after they recognize him, he says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Simon, son of John, says, "Well, Lord, yes, I love you." And he says, "Then feed my lambs." And a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, you know I love you." "Then tend my sheep." And the third time, the time it became hurtful, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you." "Then feed my sheep," he says. When we walk the path from the garden to the cross, we hear the cock crow three times for Peter, and we are reminded of his unfaithfulness. But our storyteller reminds us that the grace of Christ is present in the moment when he asks Peter for his love. Three times Peter denied him, and three times the risen Christ asks Peter to state out loud the love he has for Christ. Is it a reminder? Is it reconciliation? Is it forgiveness? Is it a way of reminding us that our unfaithfulness is marked by God's grace? And then after the forgiveness, after the reconciliation, he now asks Peter of one more thing. He asks Peter to go fishing again. Just as he did the first day when he said, "Lay down your nets and follow me. You will be fishing for people." He says to Peter, "If you love me, feed my lambs, tend my sheep." He doesn't just say, "Do you recognize me? Do you feel fulfilled? Do you feel forgiven?" "Do you love me" means the last commandment, to love as I have loved you. Go out into the world and take care of those that I care for. Go fishing again. And Peter does. And he reminds him that it will not be an easy road. He's reminding him that the relationship to bring him back, to guide him back to Christ, will definitely have a sacrifice. Our redactor leaves us with an epilogue. Add something at the end that reminds us so much of the prologue in John. The end reminds us of the beginning. We cannot leave the gospel long ago. We have to remember the beginning of the story, when the Word became flesh and lived among us, and the light shines in the darkness, and it did not overcome the darkness. Our own darkness, our own despair, our own doubts, and the past that fuels all of it keeps us from recognizing the risen Christ in our midst. Our storyteller, who we can thankfully say wouldn't leave well enough alone, tells a tale that recalls for us that Christ still calls, that Christ still feeds, still empowers, even doubters and deniers for ministry. Christ says, "Cast your nets, you have no fish, do you? Come to the fire, I am making you breakfast of bread and fish." And our response this time is, "Ooh, thank you. Fish again." Amen.